Greetings to the Grace Hour, and thank you for joining with us on this Friday afternoon, or whatever time it is, Mike, where you are. But we're so very thankful that you can join us today as we continue in our series on the Book of Proverbs. But however, we're going to have a message, a tape message from Pastor Stevens today, and I think you'll enjoy just how this got handled, but and then we'll, of course, open up the broadcast after the clip to your phone call and phone calls, plural, yes. And let me give you the telephone numbers that you can call to join the broadcast live, along with all of our friends on Facebook, all of our friends on YouTube, and all the other different platforms that Spotify, Magnify, Amplify, all those platforms. But the telephone number that you can use is 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. And either one of those numbers can get you live here together with us on the broadcast, on the Grace Hour broadcast. And I want to mention also that we will be closing our broadcast 15 minutes early at 1:45 so that we can all transition over to a live stream It is Poland, but I was telling folks Krakow, but it's Warsaw.
Warsaw, Poland.
Warsaw, Poland, this afternoon at 2 p.m. And so you can view that live if you go to ggwo.org, and simply click on live events, and you'll see it, you know, just right there on the front page of the website. Click on that, and you'll be taken to Warsaw, Poland. And amazing what we've been hearing all this week. And this is the Friday. This will be the Friday evening service that they will have because they are, of course, ahead on the clock. So that's the lineup that we have for you today. And we're going to go to an audio clip by Pastor Stevens, and we'll make some comments along the way. And hopefully then that after that, you can join us with your phone calls and comments.
Proverbs 22, the 11th verse. He that loveth pureness of heart, for grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. This particular verse deals with Ahab, A-H-A-B, and it's a cal participle, and it implies the ardent inclination that this type of person has in the mind with the tenderness of his affections. It is taken in the same extensive sense as the English word love. It is used of unspeakable love and tender mercies of God in covenant with his people. So he that loveth pureness of heart. Now the pureness of the heart here deals with tahora lib. So here we have the unmixed, refined from that which debases or is impure, and to be cleared from the consequences of sin. So he loves this pure, tender, cleansed, purged heart. And then it goes on to say, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Free from self-seeking, free from hypocrisy, and free from a spontaneous willingness to really express something that people don't deserve. The king here shall be his friend. And we want you to notice that the real meaning of this verse is that the heart and the lips should be very consistent in their thought and expression process. The heart and the lips. The heart being filled with love and the lips being completely and totally honored with grace. So here's a very definite victory that many believers can have when they experience this type of thing, the heart and the lips. Now, here is the tremendous problem that people have in this principle of not having the heart correspond to the lips. And needless to say, this causes a very, very serious problem. Now, here's the heart, and in the Christian community, the lips are professionally established in communicating what truth is, if you're really around Christians that know the Lord. Well, Matthew 15:8, Jesus said to his own, he said, "With your mouth or lips you draw close to me, but your heart is far from me." Now the question is, how much of Christianity does this include? The fruit of righteousness, the Word of God says in the next verse in James, is sown in peace to them that make peace.
Well, there we go for the first portion of that message. And Pastor Stevens was talking about the relationship, Pastor Shibeli, between the heart and the lips. And so he left off with the fact that here it is, that people, and we have the proverbial saying, you know, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk, right?
So, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
That's a street saying, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I was thinking of Psalm 45, verse 2, grace poured into the lips. And in reality, you know, if you read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 and 11 and onward, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be delivered. So really, it's not just the lips, not just the mouth, but it's the heart being the center of all motivational thinking, the premise of all thinking, the operational basis of all behavior, and the communication center. That's the definition of the heart. And that the heart is pure. There's purity of heart, pure heart. And then if there's purity of heart, then the lips would be lips of grace, lips of love, that Jesus had an absolutely perfect and pure heart. And what came out of his mouth all the time was absolutely connected to his heart. And I think that's the same with all of us. In other words, like what's in the heart? If it's the heart of the new man, then what's going to come out of the mouth is something brand new, the new spirit, the new words. If it's the old sin nature heart, then what's coming out of the mouth is nothing other than that which contaminates people, you know?
Well, you know, that's exactly what, well, we covered and touched on in the lunch wrap today, because of one of the messages that Pastor Schaller spoke about. I think it was last night's message, what's in the cup? And he was speaking about how everything outside of the cup can be, you know, confusing and disappointing and discouraging. Mm-hmm. But what do you have in the cup? And if that which is in the cup is eternal and is Jesus Christ, and as you were saying, pure, unmixed, then that is really where the strength of the believer lies.
He had that coffee cup, and he kept looking into it and smelling it. Yeah. What's in the cup? And really, there's the relationship between the inward man and the outward man. Mm-hmm. If the outward man is just a man that's religious, it's a form of godliness that denies the power thereof.
Wow.
It's a form, but there's nothing in the heart. The heart is still deceptive and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it's all an outward game that's being played, a religious game like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes played. But inward, Jesus said they were filled with dead men's bones.
Yes.
And inward, there was no life. So what we want is life on the inside, but not just staying on the inside, but that life on the inside brings us to a place of making decisions where we see that we are renewed in the spirit of the mind in Ephesians 4:21-23, Colossians 3:9-10, that there's an outward life.
Wow.
There's a manifestation. Some people will say, well, you know, they talk this game. Mm. But what did you say? They talk the talk, but they don't walk
walk. That's right.
There's no walk.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was Jesus Christ who said to the scribes and Pharisees, who considered themselves to be, you know, righteous and spot. They observed the law, but then they put the law on others and, you know, as heavy burdens. But he said, listen, you know, you guys, you know, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you omit the weightier matters of the law. And what was that? Judgment, mercy, and faith. Think of that. So those are all inward qualities. But they were observant on the outward. But as you were saying, you know, inside was dead men's bones. We want to go to the next portion? Okay, great. Thank you.
So here we have wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. Everyone here has studied the Word of God enough to know that hypocrisy means acting, or it means three different things and depends upon the setting. Acting, two faces, or a mask on. So that's hypocrisy. So here's the principle. The lips are professionally established in communicating verses, chapters, knowledge, what the Word of God often says. And the heart is not there. And that's why individuals never are able to completely win a victory over their root problems, where there is no rain of righteousness. There are no roots of life. Where there is no rain of God's righteousness, there are no roots of life. However, scriptures have been mastered to control the lips. For the unsaved person, out of the heart the mouth speaks, but not for the saved person. Because he draws nigh with his lips, but his heart is far from God. That is why Christianity can be lived for years and years and years in a normal church without this ever being revealed. Well, there isn't anything to reveal it. I mean, you've got your family, you have your ticket to heaven, you feel good about going to church. And there's no particular trial. If there are any trials, it's a few personality problems or a few things with a choir or pastor or something. But there's no major problem. So the heart and the lips are never really tested in a real fiery situation. So what we face is a Christian community at large, or by and large, the mouth draws nigh and the heart is far. Now that's quite a situation. It's an unusual situation. Unfortunately, Proverbs 26, 7 and 9 says, yet the words will be little fitted in the lips where there is no treasure of the heart. That's a very good verse. Yet the words will be little fitted in the lips where there is no treasure of the heart. Psalm 49:3, never let the mouth attempt to speak wisdom until the meditation of the heart has been of understanding. Now that's a very unique application. I'm calling these verses applications. All right, the mouth tries to speak wisdom, but there's been no meditation from an understanding heart. These are the people that you cannot entreat. They will, in Proverbs 18:13, they will answer you before you're finished communicating with them and say nothing. But they will stop your communication, usually. So, when the heart is indicting a good matter for the Christian who's right with God, the tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And it becomes choice silver in Psalm 45:1. And this is so important. So, You see, I want you to notice this, because this is a time when we need to be carefully sure that the heart produces the wisdom of the tongue. Now, if the wisdom of the tongue is produced from knowledge without God's righteous word controlling the heart, then sooner or later, during the day, during the week, you're going to be way off. But you know what? You're not going to admit you're off. It's very difficult and frustrating, probably, to try to confess 12 months of the year something because God says it and not have any idea how to put it into practice in certain situations. Must be a strange, tiring life. A person must feel they are infected with some kind of toxic poisons in their emotions, because it becomes so ridiculous, doesn't it?
Wow. Well, it's the verse that really stomped out on my heart was Psalm 49 and verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Mm-hmm. And then he stated how that the word of God needs to reign in my heart, and that means have authority. It's not just that I have knowledge. You know, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, and the love that I have for the Lord Jesus Christ, I have for his commandments, because why? They are not grievous. And so I can hide this precious word in my heart, and then it can get commanded authority on my lips because I meditated upon it. I pondered it. I mused upon it. And this is something that, you know, people want to be amused. They don't want to muse on the Word of God.
I was thinking about that in relationship to James and John. They made a statement when a certain Samaritan village would not receive Jesus. And they said, let's do like Elijah did. So they went back to knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do what Elijah did, and let's call down fire from heaven. In other words, let's kill them all. Let's kill them all. And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. You don't know the quality. You have the wrong spirit. It has a source that doesn't come from me.
Mm.
It's not from God. The manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So the quality of the spirit that Jesus was talking about there, they didn't have it. And they were his disciples. They had knowledge that Samaria would reject the gospel, that they would not be really open to the gospel like they thought. And Samaritans were called like half-breeds because they were half Assyrian and half Jew. And that was when the Assyrians came in for all those years. And so they were rejected. They were looked on as people that really shouldn't be received. And Jesus says, no, you're looking at things through the knowledge and not through life.
Mm. You know, and that carried over, you know, so here's the same scenario. So Jesus Christ is speaking to the Samaritan mm-hmm. woman. And after they get through with their little, you know, theological, well, we worship on Mount Gerizim, you worship mm-hmm. in Jerusalem. Okay, that's fine. But that's not what the Father is seeking. He's seeking for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. And like what you're saying, so, you know, those two disciples, sons of thunder, weren't they called?
Yes.
I wonder why. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And, but they, you know, so they referenced in their minds like what they heard, you know, Elijah did, and they wanted to be like Elijah. And it could be like that. So, but that's an outward mm-hmm. performance, an outward confirmation. And what the Lord Jesus Christ would say, wait a minute. It's what's in your heart, the spirit, mm-hmm. that is what God is after. So worship him in spirit and in truth.
And there were people that knew the Bible very well. And their idea about Samaritans, you know, I mean, just think about it. Look at Acts 1, 7 and 8, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all parts of the world, the whole world. Like, didn't she, I guess she didn't hear that, right?
Yeah, right.
And they didn't remember Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman in John 4, like you said, and the whole city came out to meet him.
Yeah.
Whole city. I mean, what she said when she went back in with her testimony brought everybody out. And you could just see, I mean, just look at Samaria through the book of Acts, and you could see where God's heart is, but where man's heart. And these can be even people that have a new heart, but that area, the prejudice in their life has removed them from being a minister. They had knowledge about the Samaritans that actually hindered the life of God in their heart. And knowledge connected to life, giving life to the Samaritans.
That is huge, Pastor. Because, you know, the knowledge that I may have of myself may eclipse what God has said about me being hid in Christ with God, complete in Him, seated above in heavenly places, you know, filled with faith. But I can think, well, I don't know. You know, I don't feel that. I don't see that. Well, then that reveals that there is a gap between what I know with knowledge versus what I can experience by faith. And so that's a great walk. So we have the third and concluding passage from this message from Pastor Stevens, and then we'll take your calls after that.
Psalm 119, 171. Here's a good verse. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen your authoritative rule of action. So these three verses speak of the word, the precepts, and the lips. And 169 of 119 speaks of understanding in the heart according to God's word. Now, in the Christian church at large, there are amazingly gifted Christians. But you know what always takes them out of the will of God? They're gifted. They don't get into overt sins. They're honest. They're honest people. But they always betray Christ's spirit in their heart. I mean by acting funny in a situation, by reacting, by retaliating, by being negative, by not being patient and not having lips of grace. And it's difficult. Okay, now then, he that loveth pureness of heart, what happens to him? For the grace of his lips, the king, his ruler, shall be his friend. Well, anyone that understands this verse knows that Jesus Christ reigning as king becomes your intimate friend. And you see, the principle here is, we read many verses where Christ will reign in the millennial reign, and some people are not going to like it. But in Romans 5:17 through Romans 5:21, Christ wants to reign now through the roots of righteousness to establish new roots in the heart. To establish new roots in the heart. Now remember, we're making this emphasis quite deliberately to communicate this principle. If a person hears something in a message, as we all do, all of us, and it really is right from God, it marvelously comes from God, not a man, because it's the book, the man couldn't bless anybody, but it comes from God. And it touches all of us sinners. And we get so liberated and so delivered and so free, we feel that way. Now, how many Christians have had many of those experiences only not to be delivered afterwards? Because where there are no righteous roots controlling the premise of the soul, there can be no victory in the life. It's all enforced, and it will not be genuine. And you can enforce these things for a while, and we should, but they are limited to a while. After a while, enforced discipline must become genuine discipline. Enforced humility must become genuine humility. And enforced righteousness must become genuine righteousness, meaning by faith all the time without really experiencing it. So if we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of God's righteousness, we reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And now the person is reigning in his life. Right? Now we get into another simple thing. There are many, there's been some things said about it on talk shows and the local radio stations. And they have some good principles, but they don't have a good premise. All right, and it's this, that every single problem that children have, that teenagers have, that adults have, to begin with, deal with self-esteem and insecurity. To begin with, at least, we're not ignoring negative decisions and lustful fulfillment, but to begin with, it's self-esteem. So, what happens when they begin to live in self-esteem? You look at the children who welfare pays to put them in homes, and they have been some of the most saddest cases that I've ever faced. They do not trust you to love them. They don't trust you to love them. And even though you do love them and you care for them, they do not trust your love. There are exceptions, of course, cases where they've been healed and delivered by God's word in good family environment. But for the most part, nobody wanted them for long. And they were just that. For the most part, they were children that were kept in a home for money. And there was some respect and love, too. I'm trying to be kind, probably. But they were there because they were getting paid to have them there, and the wife preferred that over working out in a factory or a store. So these children do not trust anyone. And, of course, they have no self-esteem. So either they get passive, or they do not develop their capacity to learn, or they're incapacitated, or they do things that are very, very wrong for whatever reason, to get attention or to be punished because they think that's the program for their life. But this happens over and over again. Self-image. And adults have tremendous secret self-esteem problems. Their appearance bothers some of them tremendously. And maybe their lack of certain abilities or certain securities or certain acceptance or incompatibility in marriage over a long period of time. Whatever it is, adults have a tremendous problem sometimes with self-esteem. And I believe that the Word of God is the only effective means for programming self-esteem. Now, they have many tapes out from different organizations today where you listen to the tape, your children do, schools are taking these tapes, high schools, adults are taking them, and they listen to the tapes and they simply deal with self-esteem with positive messages and positive signals. And they do help, and they do tremendously help some people. But they are not God's premise. The principles are good, and even the principles are needed if they could correspond to a premise that is from God. Or what is God's point of view on this? What is God's point of view on this? And I think the text speaks of it. The God that makes us, our Creator, loves us and loves that little child. He loves that welfare child. He loves that city child that's in so many problems and is so abused in their home. And he loves that teenager that can't function even though they have a capacity to in high school. So introduce them to receiving the love of God and then program from the Word of God God's love into their mind creatively, and then have a very fresh approach to it, so that they're receiving something, the love of God, then the grace of God, the mercy of God, the exchange life with God, then we'll get into it, the power of God, the kindness of God, the gentleness of God, and the forgiveness of God, the peace of God, the patience of God, is theirs, theirs, theirs. He calls them by name. They are his children. He died for their sins. And make it so personal. He calls them by name. And out of this, you begin to clean up the soul and clean up the frame of reference and clean up the memory center, and you begin to receive certain premises that make it possible to enter into true principles of positive signals. And I think the positive signals are absolutely important, but it isn't a situation where you can deny something. So I would go into something eventually after I build up the teenager, the young child, and the adult. I would go into thoroughly this principle that denial is not the answer until we come to a certain place. Later on, denial is the answer, by the way. I'd make it very exciting. But I can't deny the fact that God says we've all sinned. And I have sinned. I must not deny that. I can't deny the fact that Jesus Christ paid for my sins on the cross and bore them for me in my place. So denial isn't the answer. Denying Satan, denying hell, denying judgment is not the answer in order to stay superficially positive. Because if you have the true principles of positive thinking without the true premise, that's deception, even if it brings about some good ends. Because Romans 3:8 says, the end does not justify the means. That's the old Jesuit theory. But you see, he that loves pureness of heart, and then his lips speak grace, what happens with the king? He's a friend. So that means, instead of being at enmity with God, I can live as a friend of God because my heart and my lips correspond. Psalm.
Okay, wonderful. That's that's an amazing portion from Pastor Stevens. And friends, listen, the telephone lines are now open for you to call in and share. What is your thoughts about what you just heard? And with Pastor Schiavelli in the studio, we're going to bounce that off, but we want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And then locally here in the Baltimore or the North American continent, 410-483-3700. Let's hear from our listeners today. Those of you that are on YouTube and Facebook Live, you can post your comments. We see those as you put those up, and we appreciate that. Any new listeners or new viewers today, we want to appreciate you. We'd like to hear from you. What part of the country or what part of the world are you in today?
The world.
Yes, this is. It goes everywhere.
I was thinking about this idea of self-image, which I think he talked about insecurity, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's two words he used there. One was insecurity.
Yes, self-esteem.
Self-esteem and insecurity, yeah. And I was thinking about Mephibosheth and the old sin nature. And Mephibosheth was living in the image of his old sin nature, the image that the world gave him. He was lame on both his feet. His name was Mephibosheth, a lame shame, is what that means. He was living outside of the promised land. He was in Lodebar, and so he was out in the world, not in Israel, where he should be. And maybe the self-image based upon his past, his family, his old friends, all of this many times put together by Satan himself to give us a very, very strange self-image. But when God makes us a new person, then that's exactly what takes place. We have a new image. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become new. So when David called for him, he just said to him, fear not. And that's important. There's what Satan is trying to do to him is removed. Fear not, you're going to be my son and sit at my table for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And so that is putting God's image on Mephibosheth instead of him living in his self-image, of all these things that maybe have happened to him in his life. He's lame from birth, he was dropped by his maid and became lame. And then he's Saul's, here's the family image, he's Saul's grandson, and he's in Lodebar outside of the promised land. I mean,
that's
literally,
three strikes, he's out.
Yeah, he's out. More than three strikes, even, I think.
That's right.
Than that, So if he's going to live in that image, he's going to have nothing but frustration. And he's going to find nothing but defeat in his life. And yet God wants to bring us to a place where we live in the image of the new man who God has made us to be. And that's very important because that will bring me into a place of great security, great self-esteem. I have self-esteem because it's the new self. I don't have self-esteem based upon the old sin nature, but now I have self-esteem based upon who I am in Christ,
wow,
who I am in the body. And so now Mephibosheth has a great opportunity to sit at the king's table for the rest of his life. He's going to eat. He's got a provision from God himself and God's man. And this is where God would like to bring all of us. The Spirit would like to bring all of us. The devil wants us to eat at his table. Hmm. He wants us to live in who we are in our old sin nature. He wants us to live with an emphasis of the world. He wants us to just live outside of who God has made us to be. And this is so important for you and I to be people who receive from the new person that's given to us in Christ.
Wow, that is huge, Pastor. I mean, and Pastor Stevens was talking about having the right premise, which is which comes before the basis of your communication. Now,
exactly.
We hear it all the time that people want to say, well, if you bring up my sin, you're judging me. And what people want to hear is that there is no hell, there is no sin, there is no problem. Let's just kind of dress up the old sin nature in a three-piece suit, and make them look good. But that is not, that's bypassing the premise, because if I don't understand what I've been saved from, then I don't really have an appreciation for what I've been saved to. Being in Christ and being and the necessity of being in Christ, not just being, a little bit better today than I was yesterday. And, tell me I'm a good person or tell me this. So there's a lot of that out there. But when I accept the premise of the Word of God and God's evaluation on my old sin nature, which is deceitful, desperately wicked, who can know it? Then I can understand that God, who knew that about me, had a plan to rescue me.
I mean, even the Apostle Paul had a problem when he tried to come to Jerusalem. Like, do you want this guy around?
Yeah.
How do we know it's a real conversion,
That's right.
And he had to go off to Arabia, and for 3 years he was there receiving revelation from God on the grace and the finished work. Because everyone would know him after the old sin nature flesh. And that would put a lot of fear in people's lives. But then he had to come back and live in who God had made him to be and then preach the life and the message of whom God had made him to be. And that was key. And have to make sure that he would cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. He probably was initiated to continuously from his old sin nature and from the devil and demons and even from so-called religious people, all kinds of projections about who he used to be, who he was in his old sin nature. And he had to just literally get rid of them, cast them down.
Yes, that's right. Well, the fear factor.
Yeah.
And here's the devil projecting fear. That will produce insecurity, that will demolish any self-esteem that someone has if I'm living in fear that mm-hmm. has torment. But this is the thing that redeems us and rescues us, is that after, you know, the verdict, the divine verdict on the old sin nature, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all of you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will mm-hmm. give you rest. Rest. Keep losing, Pastor Steve. Okay, he can keep calling. Keep calling, Pastor Steve. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's so good. Well, you know, 1-800-338-7060 for those of you who'd like to join us. Listen, we have just a few minutes left because we're going to go to Warsaw, Poland at 2 p.m. today. Oh. You can catch that live. It's live. It's real time, 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. there. And you can join us, and that'll be excellent. So let's go to Steve, Pastor Steve. Good afternoon. You're on the Grace Hour.
Good afternoon, pastors. Yeah, that was a great little devotional that Pastor Stevens gave. And I was just thinking about how sometimes we have a betrayal in our heart, but it comes from our objectives in life. In other words, we're here to please ourselves and walk with God. Mm. There are going to be problems, trials, but we shouldn't get, you know, all bent out of shape and say, oh, poor me, look what I'm going through, because we're not here to please ourselves. We're in a war, and sometimes war is not easy. But people think and try to figure out their own problems instead of bringing all their, where am I looking for? All your thoughts to Christ, you know, in captivity to Christ. Mm. When we don't bring our thoughts to Him, we have our own thoughts, and that gives our heart such an opening to let Satan and his army of demons in. And of course, we're not going to be happy. Of course, we're going to have questions. Of course, our tongues aren't going to speak nice things because we're not feeling right. And people are living in their feelings, their emotions, and, you know, they're not living, walking with God at times. We all do that.
Yes, yes, Pastor Steve. You know?
but the thing is that, and that's what comes out of our mouth, mm. you know, exactly what we're experiencing.
Well, Pastor Steve has mentioned two things. He said premise and principle, foundation, and then how you build on that foundation. So if my foundation is the new man, who I am in Christ, who I am in the body, who I am in the gospel, that's the threefold identity, who I am in Christ, who I am in the church, the body, and who I am in the gospel, then I have this incredible protection. I'm in the middle of all of that. And the enemy cannot get at me. I mean, if I let him, if I receive negativity about who I am in the old sin nature, who I am in the world, who I am in all this bad news, I let it in, then what's going to take place? Is there going to be results of what I let in? You know, God has given us a door, mm. and a gate, and wow. we can say, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to receive that.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so shall yeah. he be.
But isn't it? Man speaks the things of his heart.
That's correct. That's right, Pastor right. Steve. So, hey, thank you, sir. I mean, I don't want to cut you off, but what we've done is we've shortened the broadcast by 15 minutes here so that we can transition into the Eurocon conference that we're going to go to at 2 p.m. today. But thank you, sir, for what your portion is sharing, and we appreciate you.
All right, now my heart is saddened.
Yes, your insecurity and your fears have come rumbling back, but we love you. See, now that casts out the fear. All right. Well, thank you, friends, for being with us today. We'll be back Monday at the same time. Hope that you can join us at that time. Have a blessed weekend. Get out to hear the Word of God on purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.